Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Jonathan Shanzer, the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Hezbollah decapitated, and then the smuggling stories, the Beirut airport, the Beirut port, Hezbollah's bold claims that it can still field an offensive force. I'm told from the north of Israel, speaking last week, that there are daily incidents where the IDF must respond to rocket fire, potential rocket fire. Over the weekend, there was another so-called rocket commander for Hezbollah targeted by the IDF. So the threat is dramatically reduced, but it cannot be said it does not exist. At the same time, on Thursday night, speaking directly to the north of Israel, there was IDF action, outgoing IAAF aircraft responding to a threat. There are sirens going off routinely at night, dogs barking along the border. At the same time, an incoming missile, probably from Yemen, lit up everybody's phone for a global alert, everybody at risk headed to the center of Israel. This is life in Israel right now. And it's been normalized by my correspondence. It's what happens every night. Jonathan, this is an unacceptable condition. Nothing is more clear than when you are in an interview and experiencing in real time this chaos. Certainly, there is no explanation for why Israel should bear up under this and not respond in kind. Do the critics, Mr. Lamy in London, Mr. Macron in Paris, Mr. Merz in Berlin, do they respond to this scale of chaos knowing that it's being driven by Tehran?
No, they don't. And I think, you know, the silence of the international community in the face of these ballistic missile attacks by the Houthis in Yemen, I think it's quite clarifying. You have the U.S. At one point was waging a campaign against the Houthis. Mr. Trump abruptly pulled out of that as he was on his way to the Middle East. And, you know, I think the assessment was that, this isn't a U.S. problem as long as the Houthis agree to allow for shipping in the Red Sea, which they have, at least for U.S. vessels. But as I understand it, it has left the Israelis to fend for themselves and perhaps also the British, by the way, which is interesting. And they've remained somewhat quiet about this. So I think that's part of what's going on. And then that's the bad news. And that is something that the Israelis are going to have to wrestle with. I suspect we're going to see some long distance sorties by the Israelis repeatedly striking Houthi assets. But that may not stop the ballistic missiles. What may stop the ballistic missiles is an end to the war in Gaza. And of course, the Israelis are not ready to declare an end to hostilities there until Hamas has been defeated. So I think we are in for a long haul, as it were. I'd like to see it end sooner, but I just don't see how. But then you have, John, and I think you mentioned the continued drama in the north of Israel, and that's of course with Hezbollah out of Lebanon. There, I think we actually have some interesting developments and some potentially good news. I mean, the Israelis continue to strike Hezbollah assets, Hezbollah commanders, Hezbollah weaponry. They're doing so with a free hand. This has been negotiated between the Israelis and the United States. It's widely understood that they will have freedom of action. And what's fascinating is they continue to coordinate with the United States and the Lebanese armed forces together in a mechanism that was created by Stephen Witkoff's deputy envoy, Morgan Ortegas. She has created a system where the Israelis warn of threats when the Lebanese armed forces are unable to take on those threats directly. The Israelis strike And then the Lebanese armed forces clean up. They go in and they take control of the territory in question. And this has led to something like 80% of Hezbollah assets now under control of the LAF. That is a remarkable turn of events, John, over the last 6 months or so. This is not something I would have ever imagined before Israel began to take out Hezbollah commanders back in September, October of last year. So this is very good news. And then a little bit of other good news I should add is that right now there are discussions underway and a process underway where the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, and the Lebanese Armed Forces, with encouragement from the international community, they are going to start dismantling the armed factions in the 12 Palestinian camps that exist across Lebanon. Now, some people call them refugee camps. They're not, because they're not actually refugees. These people have been living there since 48 or 67, and they're well entrenched. They're not going anywhere, and they're not refugees. They're the descendants of refugees. Nevertheless, these armed factions have plagued Lebanon, and we're now seeing efforts, you know, beginning steps here to disarm them and to try to turn Lebanon into something that looks like a normal country. This is good news indeed.
Syria. I mentioned because there's news that is chaotic. For example, the FT is reporting that the U.S. will reduce the 5 camps with military personnel in the east of the country to 3 and then headed towards 1. Withdrawal of U.S. troops from its mission to overwatch ISIS or the regeneration of ISIS, putting it at risk from the chaos in the region. 2, there was talk that the U.S. is now in negotiation with al-Sharr's government in Damascus. I don't know the level of discussion, something to do with foreign aid, but there's always that possibility. You tell me other actors are moving to legitimize al-Sharr, and I take it that means he pays no penalty whatsoever, personally or institutionally, for his conduct heretofore?
No, I think that's right, John. And what we have right now is a situation where the world has just grown tired and perhaps even bored of the Syrian internecine conflict that broke out in 2011, 2012. It was a brutal war that obviously brought in factions like ISIS and al-Qaeda and all manner of other foreign actors. And so when Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, or Ahmed al-Sharr, as he's now calling himself, when he emerged victorious, I think there was a sense of, hey, well, maybe we'll just end this thing now. And I do believe that that's what the Arabs want. It's what the Turks want. It's, I think, what the Trump administration wants. It's what the Europeans want. They want stability. And I think they are willing to prioritize that stability over the concerns that this man was indeed an al-Qaeda operative. And we now have reports this morning that al-Jolani, or al-Sharr, depending on how you want to describe him, he will be speaking at the United Nations in September at the General Assembly. We have sanctions relief that is already underway. We have normalization taking place, banks operating, businesses preparing to go into Syria. I don't believe that this is all going to happen at once. I believe that this will be slow as international corporations try to assess the risk of working with this government. So I do think that private sector fears of risk will ultimately temper some of this. But absolutely, we are watching an international effort to normalize this regime and to just get past whatever concerns, legitimate concerns, still linger.
Is it relevant to mention that Iran is driving this, that you're dealing with the arms of the octopus? Does that come up anymore, Jonathan? We have 30 seconds.
No, look, I think that right now we obviously are having discussions about the Iran nuclear program, and we're watching a massive amount of illicit progress taking place on the part of that regime. But I think that is where the focus is right now, not on the varying terror groups that have been largely defeated by Israel but still exist. And I think that is a blind spot for the international community, John, something that we need to keep our eye on.
Jonathan Shanzer, the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.